Hey, welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be with you again. Last week, if you I know you were responsible and required to attend the night sessions of the Prosperity Revival, but if you didn't see the day sessions, you need to go back and do yourself a favor and watch the day sessions. An apostle chose those men to include myself to minister in the morning. The morning sessions are a little different than the night sessions. The morning sessions tend to be revelation, knowledge, and experience. Us of those gentlemen that include myself that taught in the morning, things we have practiced and things we've gotten results from, and we share those things. So you see that the teachings at the night or the impartations at night from apostle is giving us direction. In the morning, most times you hear the results of following those directions by getting instructions from God. So do yourself a favor and go back and listen at the morning sessions as well, again, as the night sessions. Tonight or this afternoon or whenever you watch this, I want to go into chapter 2 of Alliance of Honorable Men. And it gives the purpose, talks about the purpose of the church. And it will stretch out to two chapters on this, chapter 2 and chapter 3. The purpose of the church, we're going to find out where it is. We're going to find out what Jesus, how Jesus established the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is quite a bit different than what we've been taught. And because, once again, I'm back on my words again, self-centric and God-centric. Because we've been reading the Word of God from a self-centric point of view, because of the pastoral model. And then let me explain what I mean by the pastoral model. The pastoral model of the church has been established because it left out the apostle and the prophet. And so it's just been focused on the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist. And of course, Jesus gave us five gifts to do three things to accomplish God's will and God's agenda. But we've been using three to try to accomplish the three, and it's impossible. And we see the residual effects from it. Because we have a self-centric point of view, pastors tend to focus on caring for the people so much and doing so much for the people that it has crippled the body of Christ from accomplishing the agenda of God. And so the pastoral model has to be broken. It has to be destroyed so that the apostolic model, in which all five of the ministry gifts can, in the culture of honor, come together to perfect the church, so that the church can do the work of the ministry. When I say church, I'm meaning you, so that the body of Christ can be built or expanded. And so, without understanding the purpose of the church, God's purpose for the church, God's purpose to you is not the same as his purpose for the church. Let me say that again. God's purpose to you is not the same as God's purpose for the church. God's purpose to you is to reveal himself to you. God's purpose for the church is for the church to reveal him to the earth. I'm gonna say that again. God's purpose to you is to reveal himself to you. God's purpose for the church is for the church to reveal him to the earth. That's why it says in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." God could have easily came to the earth and revealed himself. But he wanted to reveal himself to us and let us reveal him to the world. Go with me to Matthew's the 16th chapter. Jesus here is talking to his disciples, and he goes through a series of questions. And the purpose of those questions was to show the erroneous doctrines that were established during his time. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 13th verse. Well, let's start off at the 5th verse, and I'm going to do a lot of reading. And when the disciples would come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees of the Sadducees?" Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrines of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then Jesus continued on and say, watch when he, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he continued the conversation. He asked the disciples, still uncovering the doctrines of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They were the religious, the Pharisees were the, and the Sadducees were the religious, dominant religious Jews of that time. And Jesus came, he said, when he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he continued the conversation by saying, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, Jesus said something very powerful here because he really wanted to expose the erroneous doctrines. See, one of the first things you're going to find that happens as the apostolic model begins to recover its rightful position, you will begin to see the dismantling of erroneous doctrines. What I mean by erroneous doctrines? Doctrines that will cause us not to grasp fully God's agenda or God's purpose for the church. Doctrines that will cause us to steer off course just by a fraction of a degree. Do you know, an aircraft pilots work by degrees. That's how they put in their coordinates. And so the autopilot in those planes have to be accurate, because if the autopilot of the plane is off by just one hundredth of a degree, then the longer you travel, the farther away you would get away from your destination. So that autopilot has to be accurate. And so what I'm saying to you, the doctrine has to be accurate so that as we travel, not only through our lives, but through generations, we can head directly to where God has designed us to go. The church can go directly and accomplish what God has designed the church to accomplish. Any doctrine that's off just by a minute degree, if we travel that doctrine long enough, it will take us off course. I'll give you an example. The doctrine on faith. Because of our self-centric view of the Word of God, the doctrine of faith was taken as a tool to get what we want. When in actuality, that's why we studied faith first. That's why we redefined faith first. But in actuality, the purpose or the original purpose of faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God. So if we're just taught that faith is to get stuff, then we will veer off of, and the church has veered off of, God's original purpose, or his original intent, or his agenda for the church. So when Jesus asked this question, this way, he said, "Who do men say that I," and if you notice your Bible, it says capital S, meaning it's a significance to what he about to say, "Son of Man." Now we know he's the Son of God now, But he asked this question to the disciples in this facet to see what they would say. Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He said, I want to know what they're saying, but now I want to know what you're saying. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, verse 17 is very important because here we'll discover the first purpose of the church. And Jesus, verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This is key. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Wow. Let's go over that again. What happened? Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus did that by design because Jesus wanted to teach them a process by which the church is going to be built. They say, some say thou art, you know what they said. Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Elias or other, and others, Jeremiah, and are one of the prophets. Jesus didn't make it personal. Listen to this. Jesus made it personal. Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And that's when Peter said, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded by this. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The first purpose of the church is to be connected to heaven to reveal the Father. Connected to heaven in order to reveal the Father. That's the first purpose of the church. Now you understand why the apostle is so important, because an apostle structures heaven to earth government. That's divine order, structures heaven to earth government, heaven to earth government, so that the portals of the supernatural can be open, so all those connected can enter in. All right? Apostle structures doctrine. I give this example all the time. It's so clear. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, but never told him how. We didn't find out how to get born again until in Romans. Who wrote Romans? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul structured doctrine. Come on now. He structured doctrine on how to be born again. Or he was able to dig deeper to find out what God wanted and was able to reveal it to the church. See, in this particular passage, Jesus is letting us know that's the Apostle Paul operating in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17. The only way Peter knew that Jesus was the Son of the living God is that God had to reveal it to him, because Jesus had not revealed who he was. There were prophecies about him coming. When you don't recognize revelation knowledge, God will pass right by you. When you're not able to perceive revelation knowledge, God will pass right by you. Because God only operates through revelation knowledge. God reveals himself through revelation knowledge or revealed knowledge. If you can't access revealed knowledge, you'll miss God. And so Jesus was saying, this is how, watch what he said, this is how I would build my church. He said, upon this rock, upon this process, not talking about Peter being a rock. We know that he just changed Peter's name. He changed Peter's character. He changed his name, meaning he changed his character. He was just telling Peter, Peter, now you can't go back to the old ways of doing things. You have to do things this new way. What is the new way? This process, this rock of getting revelation knowledge from the Father and then revealing it to the earth. This is why it's so important that you spend time with God and his word so that you too can be able to receive revelation knowledge, because that's the only way that the church is going to be established. Which, watch, let me read this statement to you. Let me read this statement. The disciples who understand and live out this new revealed truth will be standard bearers to those who choose to be offended by what God has revealed to us. I'm going to say that again. The disciples who understand and live out the new revealed truth will be standard bearers to those who choose to be offended by what God has revealed to us. You know who's going to be embarrassed, or not embarrassed, but offended about this? Denominations. Let's figure out what denominations are. And you, I'm not calling no names. I'm not calling no denominations out. But when I define, when I give you a definition of denominations, you're gonna see exactly what I'm talking about. What Jesus was trying to eradicate, and why the fivefold have to come together in the culture of honor to mature the church, to so that the church can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be edified. What is a denomination? A denomination is man's idea about who God is. That's what it is. A man's idea about who God is, instead of having God's idea about who he is. What happens when man wants to give you his idea of who God is? What happens? You begin to go in circles. The children of Israel, when they would not hear Moses and they wanted to keep coming up with their idea about who God is, it caused them to turn a 40-day journey into a 40-year travel. Because God ain't going no further until you understand what he wants. So you'll find the church now is going in a bunch of circles. Some mini circles, some larger circles, some mid-sized circles. What I mean, every denomination that is not moving with God are coming up with their own ideas about who God is, instead of letting God reveal himself to them, and keep the church progressing. See, we can't exhaust God. We can't exhaust who God is. We ought to be ever learning about God as our Father. And so what you'll find is denominations are developed when men and women of God want to stop moving with God and want to maintain control. So in order to maintain control, they have the church going in a circle, preaching the same thing, teaching the same thing, and not getting revelation knowledge, not progressing. Watch this. When the church is built on the opinions of men, it will abort the purpose of God as well as God's assignment for her. When the church is built on the opinions of men, what I just told you definition of denominations were, God, man's idea about who God is, or man's opinion about who God is, instead of allowing God to reveal who he is. When the church is built on the opinions of men, it will abort the purpose of God as well as God's assignment for her. So now, this process that Jesus taught Peter, or let Peter discover rather, this is important. This was a discovery that Peter made, which is funny, because here's the thing about revelation knowledge. When you get revelation knowledge, you have to meditate that revelation knowledge so that it can uproot everything that was lying dormant in your soul that would try to combat against it. That's why when you get revelation knowledge, you have to meditate it so it can what? Cast down every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God that just was revealed to you. Watch what, let me go a little further. Watch, look in the 16th chapter, a little further in the 16th chapter. Go to verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto the disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders. Now, Jesus, oh, glory. Now Peter just had told Jesus who he was. Now, if he discovered who Jesus was by revelation knowledge, then all the prophecies from the Old Testament should have come alive to him, right? Come alive to him. All the prophecies of the Old Testament should have come alive to him. All the prophecies of the government should be on his shoulder. There's coming a lamb, a second act. All those things should have came alive to Peter. But because Peter did not meditate revelation knowledge that God had given him, it caused him to jump back and forth between sources of information. Watch. Look in the 21st verse. Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee. But the same man who Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father was in heaven. Jesus turned around to that same man and said unto Peter, now his name changed, because he's not calling Simon Bar-Jonah no more. He talked to this other character, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So Jesus was really teaching Peter another lesson. You must get revelation knowledge and meditate revelation knowledge so it can uproot everything in your soul that is contrary to what God wants to do. Let's bring it to your life. God wants to talk to you. God has been talking to you. How I know? First of all, whatever connection you made in the kingdom to whatever pastor, whatever leader you've made connections to, God ordered you to make that connection. If God didn't order you or give you instructions to make that connection, then it won't last. So first of all, you got to make the right connection. God, that's God talking to you. You have to make that choice. So I know God talks to you. So whenever you make that choice, it causes you to, you're sure about the choice. It causes you to understand, this is what I got to do. This is the church I'm supposed to be a part of. This is the ministry I'm supposed to be a part of. That revealed knowledge, because you didn't get it out the Bible. Because 9 times out of 10, the name of your pastor, the name of your leader, the name of your church is not in the Bible. So God had to reveal that to you. And you had to grab hold of that revealed knowledge, huh? And eradicate everything in your soul that would try to stop you from making that connection. You might have not meditated long enough, and you might be wandering around and haven't found a place where you're supposed to be connected. That's you allowing information from other sources to override what you know God told you to do. So you're going to have to operate your life by revealed knowledge. Now let's figure out how revealed knowledge is revealed. Revealed knowledge is revealed by spending time with the Word. When Jesus came into the coast of the Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? right? Jesus asked that question because they had spent enough time with him, the word, to be able to discover revelation knowledge. How I know that? Because watch what he says in verse 5. And when the disciples were coming to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. That's Jesus teaching them, you're hanging around the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh. They're hanging around the word, spending time with the word. So therefore, they're getting familiar with the word of God, which opens the door for God's voice. See, the word of God opens the door for God's voice. I'm going to say it again. The word of God opens the door for God's voice. So when you allow the word of God to penetrate your soul or your heart, it opens the door for God's voice. It opens the door for your ability to recognize God's voice. That's what happened to Peter. Or some majority of the time, then Peter. He recognized God's voice. When Jesus asked that question, you must be able to recognize God's voice when life asks you questions. When life asks you questions, you must be able to recognize God's voice to answer. This is how the church is going to be built, through this process of receiving revelation knowledge and being able to answer situations. See, remember, God's purpose to you is not the same purpose for you. God's purpose is to reveal himself to you. Once he reveals himself to you, he then expects his purpose for you. He expects you to reveal him to the world. This is how he is going to build his church. He builds his church by first building you. I hope you're grabbing this. So when you begin to look at the word of God, at the kingdom of God, from a God-centric, from his lens, from a God-centric point of view, from how God thinks, what God wants, you begin to realize that God wants to use you to reveal himself to the world. The only way that happens is through revelation knowledge, through revealed knowledge, through knowledge that cannot be known unless you and God are in communion. Unless you and Jesus are on the same page. Unless you and the Holy Spirit are talking the same language. Praise God. So this process, the first purpose of the church is to be connected to heaven and reveal the Father to the earth. You cannot reveal the Father to the earth unless he reveals himself to you. That is an ongoing process. This is why the fivefold ministry is so important. Jesus gave gifts unto men so that they can help you. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let me find the scripture. 1 Corinthians. Let me find the scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians. Yeah, there it is. I got it. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. No, it's not. It might be 2 Corinthians. Let's see. 2 Corinthians. Let me look and see if it's there. 2 Corinthians 1. Nope, that ain't it either. I got to find it. It's in 1 Corinthians. I'm not sure where it is. Let me look it up real quick. Where Apostle Paul says, we don't have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. Let me look at it. Let's see. Helpers of your joy. Let me look in the New Testament. Helpers of your joy. Yeah, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. That's 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 1:24. 2 Corinthians 1:24. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church. writing to the church, and he says, not for that we have dominion over your faith or your assignment, but we are helpers of your joy, for by faith or by your assignment ye stand. So the fivefold is to help you. That's maturity, help you, so that you can hear the voice of God and recognize revelation knowledge, so you can understand your part to play in revealing the Father to the earth, revealing the Father to the world system. What is your part to play? And so that's why it's going to take revelation knowledge. So the purpose of the fivefold is to put you in a position so that you can get revelation knowledge and help reveal the Father to the world. I bless you in this session. I bless you. I want you to study this. Get it down on the inside of you. We'll continue the week after next, because next week's our exams. I want you to read chapter 4, because that's what the exam will be on, chapter 4 of Alliance of Honorable Men. Study this, because you begin to understand, once you understand the purpose of the church, once you begin, and we're going to go to letter 2 when we come back, when you understand the purpose of the church, it'll shift you into a glory of God or a success of God, to where everything around you will begin to change. Everything around you will begin to change for the better. There will be no situation that you face that you cannot overcome. There'll be no situation that you face that you won't have an answer for. Why? Because you'll understand it is going to be revealed knowledge, revelation knowledge, that calls you to win in all situations. So don't forget about next week, exams next week. Don't forget about the chapter 4. It'll be open book. I bless you. Have a great rest of your week.